Today on Real Radio.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 13, where Samson is mentioned. Now, Samson was a man used of the Almighty, to be sure, but he had a bit of a problem. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his series called Staying Fit for the Master's Use.
See, the world's yoke will kill you. God's yoke sets you free. Billy Graham was preaching once in Canada, and the day of the service, he was reading the newspaper, and in the newspaper, it said that vandals raid vending machine. And he read the article, and he used it that night in his sermon, and it said, roaming vandals destroy vending machine. And one of the youth was overheard to say, when they were running away from the crime scene, they said, "Now this vending machine's been set free. It's been liberated," because all the candy was laying everywhere. Billy Graham used that. These kids ran around thinking, I'm 19 to 20. I'm the same age as Samson. Running around, breaks all this stuff, committing vandalism, shouting, and now the vending machine's free. Like they're the big liberators themselves. And Billy Graham drew that illustration to the point that those young boys are in bondage. They're actually in bondage. They're in bondage to their self-will. They're in bondage to their temper. They're in bondage to what they want to do. You say, "Well, I want to do what I want to do." Listen, we all want to do what we want to do. Some of us, though, have found out that when we do what we want to do, it's really a stupid thing to do. And you look at your kid, you go, "Why did you do that?" And you know the poor things. You almost want to help them, but you want them to suffer through it. Because when you go, "Why did you do that?" They go like this. Because they haven't lived long enough to find a really good lie to figure it out. They're like, and their eyes are like, "Oh, man, why?" But when you get older, you still, without Jesus, you're still going to be doing dumb things. And even with Jesus, you can do some dumb things. Whenever we don't follow Him, we need to listen to what He's saying. He's given us His word, and He says, "Listen, obey me. It's good for you to obey me." God help us if we have a rebellious heart in us that we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. Because God is someone who wants to tell us what to do. The amazing thing is, God looks at us like this. He says, "Oh man, Jack, I got such a great plan. I got a great plan. And I'm going to point you in this direction. If you just go down that path, it's going to go this way. And that way for you, it's going to be great for you." And I say things like, "I don't want to go down that plan. I don't want that. I want my own plan." Why do we do this? Because there is that residual lesson that we learned from our mom and dad, Adam and Eve. It's in us. Our kids reach for the cookies that we tell them not to reach for. Why? Because they're sons and daughters of Eve and Adam. It's in us. We got to teach our kids to tell the truth, don't we? We got to teach them to do the right thing. Samson, it looks like maybe. I don't know. But Samson was a man that was just very, very much full of himself. Staying fit for the master's use, lessons in knowing God. Lesson number 3, consecration. Being where God is key. That's why the Bible says Old and New Testament alike. In fact, right now I'm just personally going through 1 Kings chapter 3. And I was reading it this morning, just really slow looking at it. And God said to Solomon, man, you're awesome. He didn't say that, but he said, you're great. I love you. You're super kid. Because you didn't ask for wealth for yourself. You didn't ask for kingdoms. You asked me if you could have the brains and the wisdom to watch over these people of mine. Because you asked for that and not for the stuff for yourself, I'm going to give you super duper amounts of the wisdom, and I'm going to give you more money than and more influence and more everything than you can ever imagine. God blessed him super. And it was all because Solomon asked, and he asked in the right way, with the right heart. Jesus comes along and tells us, ask. It's your Father's desire to give you those things you ask. And what do we do? What do you young people do? I don't know. You have a test coming up? Are you contending with a professor? I know you are. Some of you are letting me know about your professors in school. Ask God to give you influence, power, and strength. And look, your God is the God that rules heaven and earth. Why don't you ask the Lord, Lord, set that professor up so that, I'm serious, I'm not joking. Set that professor up, God, where your word can get to him or her, where you can be glorified. Lord, humble this person. Humble this person that they might receive the gospel or at least hear the gospel. You guys, we need to pray like that. We need to take hold of heaven, man. We need to grab it. We're so bold about things. I was at a Duck game a week ago or whatever, and I don't know anything about hockey, but I love to go to a Duck game. And I'm yelling when I'm not supposed to be yelling. I feel a tap on my shoulder, and I'm thinking, hey, I got tickets for this seat. In fact, here's my ticket. Right here, I still have the ticket. It's hilarious. This guy taps me on the shoulder, and I'm thinking, I got a ticket for this seat. And I look back, and it's a guy in the family that goes to this church. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. They're sitting about 5 seats behind me. I'm jumping up and down, yelling, screaming. They're the ducks are fighting the goats or whoever they're playing right there. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute. Man, I mean, what was I doing? And well, I was just totally enthusiastic about this game and loving it. And that's not a crime, but the thing is, you know, we come into church for worship. Sit down. Right? It's like, put your hands down. But we'll go to a Duck game and act like a lunatic. What is with that? He's God. And we tiptoe around classrooms like that. Do you realize what we're... I believe in the God of the universe. I believe he's all powerful. People look at us and they laugh. They go, what are you, crazy? You don't believe in this. Samson had the greatest start. He fought God's battles in the daytime. But at night, he served his lust. And the world is fed up of the contradiction and the hypocrisy. Being where God is matters, my friend, because listen, being where he is where we are, because he has promised to never leave us or forsake us. It says in verse 2, look way back in verse 2, it says there that the man Manoah and his wife, they were barren and had no kids. Can you hear that? They had no kids. Isn't it interesting that God chooses to speak so often in the Bible to women who can't be pregnant or can't get pregnant? And then they get pregnant. I don't know exactly why, other than people who can't get pregnant. There's a lot of brokenness there. You know brokenness? I know we don't want to sign up for a class on brokenness. Can you imagine we host a class Tuesday night? Come Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, how to be broken. You don't have to sign up, though. God will break his kids if you can't get through. And he'll do that to all of us. And broken. Manoah and his wife, they were broken people. They couldn't, that's why they were barren. It means there's nothing in there. It's desert. God had a plan. He's got a plan, and in the midst of working out that plan, he's got all the peripheral things where he works on our personalities and our sins and our quirks and our weirdness and our things that he wants fixed and cleaned up. God's economy is perfect. And if we, like Manoah and his wife, if our lives are dedicated to God, if you can say tonight, I consecrate my life to God. Oh, let me tell you, wherever you go within the sandbox, yes, he's there. Of course, he's God. But you want him in you wherever you go. And even if you're barren, whatever the situation might be in your life, he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. I don't know what work it out means for your life. Only he does. And herein is the problem. Will you, will I relax and let him work whatever it is out in our lives? You do that, and he is Lord in your life. Samson's life, we shall see, did not allow that. The Bible says in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. These God will not refuse. Are you holding back tears? God is there. The Bible says that God stores your tears in his bottle. Did you know that? That's an awesome thing. Psalm 34:18-19 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Lord is near you tonight, especially if tonight you're saying, oh God, I would love to hear from God, and I would love to be consecrated to God, but I've got all these things that I just despise about my life. Maybe tonight you're saying, everything I pick up to go do and I want to do this for God, I fail at it. Oh, listen, God is absolutely desiring to use that in your life. Also this, consecration, being where he is this, that we want all of him. Christianity is a weird trip. You know, we could easily become guilty of saying, you know how we say, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And that's true, but you know, we kind of like pull the screen, you know, the string, like a little talkie doll thing. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And it becomes insincere. But did you know, it is absolutely a fact that's the case. And one of the most amazing things, and again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're outside the pool, man. Everyone's splashing around, and you're looking at it. And you got all the critiques. That water, I don't know if it doesn't look very wet to me. It looks cold to me. It's not blue enough, or it's not clear enough. You know, you can talk about it all you want. We love you, but your criticism no longer matters to us anymore because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We know that when he speaks, you could burn us at the stake. Our brothers and sisters have been burned at the stake. We can't deny them. I mean, we could lie about it, I guess, but it's not worth anything. We can't deny them. And so when we look at this about wanting all of him, what a bizarre thing that is. Because Christian, you have him. I have him. But we're full. That is, we're not looking anywhere else for any other meaning to life. We're satisfied. But we want more of them. But I thought you're satisfied. I am satisfied. But I've got to have more of them. Well, wait a minute. How can you be satisfied and want more of them? That is the relationship we're talking about. It's amazing. How do you know you're a Christian? Because you can't get enough of them. And then the flip side is, how do you know you're a Christian? Totally satisfied. I thought you needed more. I do need more of them. It's a contradiction. It's insane. But it's true. We want more of him. Then Manoah, verse 8, look at verse 8. Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you've sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." Verse 9, and God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, what a funny guy. But Manoah, her husband, was not there. He missed it again. Then the woman ran with haste and called her husband and said, "Look, the man of God came to me the other day. He just now appeared to me." So Manoah, verse 11, arose and followed his wife. When they came to the man, he said to them, "Are you the man of God? Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Ego emi, by the way, in the Greek. This is in the Hebrew, but Greek is ego emi. Remember when Jesus said, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. He used the word ego emi. See, so what? See the I am right here in this portion of Judges? It goes right over to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, Moses is on Mount Sinai. Moses says, "Okay, I'm going to go now. I'm going to go tell these people that you sent me, but who do I say sent me? Who are you? What's your name?" And he says, "You tell them I am that I am sent you." The eternal, self-contained, never born, forever existing, never ending, eternal God. The word I am also means, what do you need? Do you need peace? I am your shalom. Do you need righteousness? Yes, I'm a sinful creep. You need righteousness? Jehovah Tsitkenu. I'm your righteousness. I need provision. I'm broke. I'm poor. I'm losing everything. Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, I will provide. That's what God said in the Mount of Moriah to Abraham. Remember that? And then Abraham, when Isaac says, "Here's the wood and here's the fire and the altar, where's the sacrifice?" Abraham says to Isaac, "The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice." That's an awesome statement. The Lord will sacrifice himself. It's incredible. It's awesome. And so the announcement is made, I am. It's the same thing when Jesus is before Abraham was, I am. And that's why the Pharisees freaked out. I know we're running late. We have to finish this, though. I mean, you're doing fine. It's me that's slowing down here. Lesson number 4, consecration and obeying him. It's by determining now to follow the Lord. And it's sometimes hard for us to come to the grips of this, with the fact that we're not on earth to please ourselves. We're here for God. As a believer, our interests are to please him. In God's infinite wisdom and knowledge, he created you and I. He's placed you and I at this moment in human history. It's not an accident for this age right now, this date. You're alive right now for an awesome, specific purpose by God. You're not going to believe that unless God touches you. I can say it until I turn purple. You will not believe it unless you believe God. It's not that I'm saying it. This evening, would you say, "That's right, I am alive right now. I can move, I can breathe, I can think." What's that all about? Because God ordained you to be his child now. For what reason? Follow him in obedience. Look what happens. When in verse 14, he says to her, "Do all that I've commanded her to do," she's to do that. We are to determine to follow the Lord. Jesus said, "Come and," what? "Follow me." And there was an amazing unity when he said that. "Come and follow me." And they just, okay, all right. Not much was given. "Come and follow me." All right, leave the nets. Just leave them. Let's go. Can you imagine? Matthew's collecting money. Money. Ching, 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 ching. Jesus walks by. "Come and follow me." The Bible says he got up and he left his toll booth. He left it. Incredible unity of the spirits going on. That is true among those who are following the Lord. Jesus would say, "Walk with me." You get up and walk. "Go where I'm going." You get up and go. "Step where I step." "Say what I say." "Do what I do." "Live like I live." "Be like I am." It's amazing. That's what the term Christian means. Did you know that? It's not a cuss word, but it is a curse word. Did you know that? Christian? You're looking at me kind of silent there. It was in Antioch when the non-believers began to mock those who were of the way. That's what Christians were called back then. They weren't called Christians. They were called those who were of the way. Jesus was the way, the truth, and life. Oh, those people are of the way, not the cult in LA. That's the way. That's the nut thing. This back then, and non-believers in Antioch began to make fun of those who were of the way, and they say, let's call them little Christians. Let's call them little Christ. They walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus. Oh, let's call them Christians, little Christ. And it stuck. The Christians said, hey, that's good. Like that. That's based upon the decisions we make in this life to follow him. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will show you what he is like. And he did it, said it in Luke's gospel about building your house on the sand. Also this, dedicating yourself to the Lord. God wants you to obey him by dedicating yourself to him. I'll give you this last verse. It all comes down to willingness, and we're done here. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, an incredible portion of scripture. Paul writes this to the church at Rome. Can you imagine church at Rome? Back in his day, Paul's writing to a bunch of Italians who got saved. And they got saved out of the imperial Roman cult. That is the worship of the Caesars. It is the worship of the emperor. Emperor worship. That's a big deal. And they got saved out of it. And I think there's few things in all this world more attractive, few things more attractive in this world than a born-again, spirit-filled Italian or those of that culture. You see, get the Italians born again? Oh, man. And you see a Jew get born again? Lebanese get born again? Remember when Brigitte Gabriel was here? She's talking to us like this? She looked like a helicopter. Hands going everywhere. You see the Italians, they're praising the Lord. Looks like they're going to beat each other up. It's awesome. It's beautiful. Paul writes to a bunch of Romans, a bunch of Italians. And when they opened it up, this is what they read. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is for your life. Is that not beautiful?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's actually a mini-series taken from the 13th chapter of the Old Testament book of Judges, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We've also been telling you about Pastor Jack's teaching series called Life and the Bible. It's a collection of presentations by our teacher on DVD, and some of the subtitles, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian at Your Job. And recently, we told you about being a Christian while being a husband. Well, now we're telling you about being a Christian while being a wife. Here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send you Pastor Jack's presentation on DVD called Being a Christian While Being a Wife. Ask for it by title, Being a Christian While Being a Wife. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.